This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The communists already lost.
Well, I like the sounds of it. Let's find out if that's the reality of it. The United States of America has been far too welcoming for far too long. If you were born in Kenya and raised in Canada and you go on television and trash the United States of America, ICE should be waiting for you at your car to send you to another country. You should never step foot on American soil again. The average Democrat, Ken, talks about political violence a lot when they're amongst themselves. And I know this because I've lived around them. And this is how they talk, especially when it comes to Donald Trump. I hope someone kills him. I hope he dies. I wish he'd just die. And every Democrat, there's no condemnation. There's, that would be nice. It's too bad he missed. This has become how Democrats talk.
A lot of people are just nuts, man. A lot of people are just goofy, crazy.
The SPLC has a clear incentive to exaggerate. Hey, there are white Klan hoods in existence today because of the SPLC funding that would not exist without that funding.
If you want to know when a winner is going to be declared, just sit back and wait and stop asking.
Okay, so let's have a chat because it is, I mean, shoot, we're 1 month? I think we're 1 month exactly away from our birthday. 250 years old. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And look, we've got problems, and every country gets problems. Every country has problems, but countries can develop a fatal problem if they're not careful. And we have one right now, and it's one that needs to be fixed. And that fatal problem is one of the two political parties in the United States of America hates the country. The Democrats hate the country. We just had a poll came out. 1 in 5 Democrats feel proud to be an American. 1 in 5 feel proud to be an American. Listen, you can survive a country with political parties that have bad ideas, wrong ideas, or a bad tax plan. You can survive long-term a lot of these things. What you cannot properly survive, you just can't survive long-term when people inside of your country hate it and want to burn it down. It does not work. Patriotism, as we've talked about so many times before, is the essential element for a country. You can survive a lack of resources, a low birth rate, the tax policy. You can get through all these things if your society is full of people who love it. But if your society is full of people who hate it, there's no long-term way to navigate out of that. I've used this example a long time ago. I'll bring it up again. If there is a village, a remote village in Africa, and 100 people live in that village, well, if 90 of the 100 people in that village love the village, they feel blessed to be there, want to be part of that tribe, then what's going to happen is every single day, little decisions will be made by the people in the village that protect and preserve the village. Oh, this guy's, this fence is down a little bit. Some cattle are going to get out. I'll run over there and fix it. That kind of a thing. And vice versa. If 50 people in the village love it, but then 50 people in the village want to burn it down, the fence is left unrepaired and the cattle get out. It's just not a situation we can get through. And this is Ali Velshi. This has become mainstream Democrat thought.
Anniversaries are imperfect records of the thing which is being celebrated. In America's case, anniversaries often gloss over the racial dynamics underlying much of America's history and politics, issues that remain unsolved because America has never actually fully reckoned with its racist past and its original founding sin of slavery. In 1 month, America will mark the 250th anniversary of its founding. Like previous anniversaries, there is a deep unease about this. I feel a deep unease about these celebrations to which I am invited to mark the 250th anniversary of our so-called democracy.
Deep unease. Look, scream and yell at the television all you want. That's how your liberal Aunt Peggy feels. The Democrat across the street with the Joe Biden bumper sticker on his car, that's how he feels. He feels exactly like that. Every poll shows it. Every single poll shows it. This is how Democrats feel about the United States of America. They hate it. Now, by the way, if that doofus looks familiar, this is him.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly, but fires have been started, and there's a crowd that is
not unruly. Why did he see it that way? You remember that clip. We all made fun of him for that clip. Why did he see that as being okay? He wants to burn it down. He looked at those people burning things down and thought to himself, nice, go get that evil country. Maybe the most egregious part of this whole thing is that guy was born in Kenya. He was raised in Canada. The United States of America has been far too welcoming for far too long. If you were born in Kenya and raised in Canada and you go on television and trash the United States of America, ICE should be waiting for you at your car to send you to another country. You should never step foot on American soil again. And by the way, speaking of immigration, this is why we have so much naked anti-Americanism flowing through the Democrat Party. Let me introduce you to one. You probably know her.
These people are just idiots. I'm at the point where it's become really hard to have an intellectual debate with any of these people because the level of stupidity that they are displaying every single day is frankly embarrassing, not just in Congress, but as Americans. And the fact that these people are allowed to say just the most ridiculous things tells you that the dumbing of the United States has arrived, because how else do we get a Trump presidency again? And so the idea that this is a white nation that needs to be preserved is a fascinatingly disgusting view, because this country is one for the many.
I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across our country, because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country.
That savage never walks into Congress if we don't let her dirtball family come over here. It's the bottom line. She never steps into Congress without these foreigners. But we have so much domestic hate for America, too. It's become the mainstream thing, the cool thing. Remember this doofus Macklemore?
Not gonna stop you. America.
Yeah, F America. We got it. That's what our entertainers do. Do you understand that when I was a kid, we had all kinds of actors and singers who would openly talk about their love of country. That's not ancient history. I'm 44 years old. When I was a kid, that was fairly standard. Yeah, there were some lefties, of course, but there were all kinds of guys who talked about the love of America. Now you get Mark Ruffalo.
What do we do to make life better for everybody? We certainly have enough. I mean, we just created the most number of billionaires in the history of the world. You know, we have enough. We could do this, but it's going to take some imagination, reimagining of what America is, what our economic system is, because what's clear is it's not working and it's not sustainable.
Remember, always remember, when the communist says reimagine, he means destroy. Whatever he's trying to, quote, reimagine, he's trying to destroy. He knows the word destroy doesn't sell well. So he workshopped it and worked on it and came up with reimagine. It sounds so flowery and nice, right? We're not burning down your country. We're reimagining it. And these people, they've gotten such a foothold in so many places. This person is a police officer in Nashville.
I love being a part of it. I love being able to go out with my wife throughout the entire city and being able to say, hey, I put that sticker on that business. As of this morning, we have 129 different businesses. So a safe place is basically a business will get in contact with me. I'll come out to the location and go over the program. It's basically a safe place, essentially, for any victim of any hate crime whatsoever to come into the business, inform the business owners or the employees what happened to them, and then that business is responsible for keeping the victim in a safe public spot and then calling 911 on the behalf. Fun fact is that lipstick and chapstick are both part of Safe Place, but they're also one of the first ones when I came on to be the LGBTQ liaison, signed up to be a part of the Safe Place program. I think more now than ever, somebody needs to know that they're loved, whether it's within their blood family or within their chosen family. There's people out there for you, and to not be scared to live your full authentic self.
These people are religious. They're religious nutballs, they're conquerors, and they're destroyers. And this has become mainstream thought in the United States of America. What a place to be. All right, look, we have Ken LaCourt on the show. We have Tyler O'Neill on the show. We have John Phillips on the show. We have so much we have to get to tonight. Before we get to that, do you have a mortgage? Do you have high interest debt? 20, 30%. American Financing. American Financing can give you a path out. I don't mean make things better. American Financing can give you a path that gets you out. Now, they can't do this unless you give them a call. And I am fully aware at how much debt just plagues you. It weighs you down. And when you have this high interest debt, you feel like you're never getting out of it. I know exactly how you feel. I do. I'm telling you right now, American Financing helps people just like you. Don't think you're some special case or anything like that. Go to AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse or call 866-891-2821. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You gotta make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you've heard me lament multiple times that the United States of America has obviously moved into being a culture of assassination. Assassinations have happened. Multiple assassination attempts have happened recently. Clearly, assassinations themselves are going to continue happening because at least a portion of this society has just accepted that that's how you do politics. Now, that's very terrible. It's sad to watch the country I love descend into that. It is not, however, totally unique in history. Not at all. Joining me now, Ken LaCourt. You know his YouTube, Elephants in the Room. It is outstanding. Hey, Ken, there's a bit of history behind this stuff, isn't there?
There is. Assassinations. You know, when I was a kid in the late 60s, we went through a pretty bad spate of political assassinations. But they've been targeted in the United States through history and worldwide. You know, killing the people for whatever reasons, from power to ideology to sometimes craziness. That's an ongoing thing. And it works in some places of the world better than it works in other places.
Okay, expand on that. Why? What kind of society? Where does it work? Where doesn't it work? Why?
Well, where it works is usually in more of a dictatorship or a heavy top-down society. Sometimes it's done by the government themselves, all right? So if you look at North Korea, you look at Putin, you look at a lot of military dictatorships, that's the way that they have elections. They zap out their opponents, they poison them, they shoot them, they go flying out of windows, and that's the way that they consolidate their political power. And unless that opposition grows so extreme that they end up shooting the guy's back or having them swing from a tree, that can be very successful tactics in those types of societies. Or even Anwar Sadat got shot in Egypt. It was a very, you know, dictator type democracy and dictator type government, and when he was out, the guys who killed him, they got what they wanted. There was a change in public policy. In democracies, we kind of don't see that. It's a rare event for the shooter to actually accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Besides the shooting.
Okay, so why is that? Why does a freer country like ours, why can they withstand such things? Is it just generally a more of a power dispersion?
That's the first and obvious and right answer. It's that democracies aren't centered around one person or a handful of people, and they can absorb the death of a leader. And in a democracy where you also have in usual and you know, you certainly see now, and it's creepy when you see people supporting political violence against their opponents, you still have the vast majority of people having a backlash against it. So look, we can see this throughout all of American history. I mean, John Wilkes Booth, he killed Lincoln to help the South. That made Reconstruction against the South harder when Johnson came in. It didn't help the South, it hurt them. You look at Martin Luther King. You know, right after his death, they passed some legislation on housing. It wasn't too much longer before Johnson passed the Civil Rights Act of 1968. It had the opposite effect of slowing down civil rights. Reagan, he got more popular. Trump, he got more popular. I mean, you know, when he took, he wasn't assassinated, but it was about as close as you get. And it even though that was such a stratified race that it didn't really move the numbers a whole lot, it absolutely did. Elon Musk was on the fence and endorsed Trump the week of his attempted assassination. And I think we saw the exact same thing with Charlie Kirk. It didn't make his cause go away. It brought thousands and thousands of contributions of people supporting them, of school chapters. It's a fortunate feature of democracy that, yes, we can point to the absolute awful people who are like, yay, look, you just killed that guy and he's rich or he's a Republican. But the vast majority of people don't believe that.
Okay, let's talk about the assassins themselves. Obviously, all of history is probably too broad of a subject, but you look at our recent assassins and attempted assassins, you know, the Charlie Kirk, Donald Trump. Hey, there are definitely some common threads, it looks like. Who are these people?
I see essentially four groups of people. I mean, one are the political extremists, the one in, you know, assuming you don't believe Candace Owens' nonsense, the guy who shot Charlie Kirk. He did it for what we can tell right now, a political, he hated his politics. We see that with JFK's assassination, with RFK's assassination, that they had a political agenda. Another big chunk of it are the Hinckleys of the world who shot it and who tried to kill Ronald Reagan. They just want to be somebody. They want to be somebody important. You look at the guy who assassinated John Lennon. He liked John Lennon. He didn't dislike him. He wanted to be attached and he wanted to be somebody important and remembered by history. And weirdly, that works for them. They do get remembered by history in a bad way. Another one is just, and this is just one that you see more often, and it was with Garfield, it was with, is just people who have a personal grudge. You didn't vote my way. You didn't give me a job. We can look at the assassination in San Francisco of Mayor Moscone and Harvey Milk. It was done by a guy who wanted his job back, and he was mad at them for various things. It wasn't because of larger politics, even though it tried to get spun that way with Harvey Milk. That just wasn't his motivation there. And then the fourth group, a lot of people are just nuts, man. A lot of people are just goofy, crazy. You look at the guy who broke into Paul Pelosi's house and smacked him in the head with a hammer. Both sides are like, they could find enough in his nutty behavior to say, he's a Republican. Look, he was against the COVID vaccine. He did this, he did that. And then Republicans would go, no, he was a hippie who used to be part of the Nude First movement. He lives in Berkeley. And when you looked at it, the guy believed in body doubles and talked to fairies. He was crazy. And I think there's a little bit, sometimes these categories overlap a bit, but those are the four general categories that I found when I dug into this.
Well, I'm assuming you did talk to some fairies, but that's another story. Let's talk about the Democrat Party.
I think you spelled it F-A-E-R-I-E-S.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I went to community college, Kent. I screw those things up. Let's talk about the Democrat Party, because it's a concern of mine a great deal. The radicalization of the standard Democrat, not just the Ilhan Omars in Congress. She's a great punching bag. The average Democrat, Ken, talks about political violence a lot when they're amongst themselves. And I know this because I've lived around them, and this is how they talk, especially when it comes to Donald Trump. I hope someone kills him. I hope he dies. I wish he'd just die. And every Democrat, there's no condemnation. There's a, oh, yeah, yeah, that would be nice. It's too bad he missed. This has become how Democrats talk. What?
I think A, you're largely right. I think B, Twitter isn't real life and online isn't real life. And we have to kind of sometimes be careful that when we see those anecdotes of the crazy, awful people, that we don't necessarily assume, like I live in San Francisco. Most of the people here didn't ever express that to me. Some of them were probably biting their tongue in there. So when they have such a frustration, when you buy and this is where political narratives, even though, I'm 1,000% all for the First Amendment, but when you start to indoctrinate people that guy is Hitler, those people aren't just conservatives, they're fascists. Those people over there, they're probably not just liberals, they're probably treasonous communists. When you get that in and you have a frustration, like this, if you really believe that Trump is Hitler, then it doesn't take a whole lot of logic to say he has to be killed, because we know that he's going to throw trans people in jail next and in camps, and so that's the danger of the crap that so many of the mainstream politicians say and the extremist press. And it's even though every person who pulls the trigger, he's the person responsible for that. But there was a wind at their back, and the wind at their back is the crazy people on Twitter and on TV and in there that are abiding by that concept. It's horrible. It leads to bloodshed. There's absolutely no way around that.
Okay, so how do we get the Democrat rhetoric to stop? Because it doesn't appear that there's any stop. It didn't stop after Steve Scalise. It didn't stop after Charlie Kirk. It didn't stop when Donald Trump was shot in the head. It didn't stop after this. It didn't stop after that. Every time there's one of these things, everyone says, you got to stop with the Nazi stuff. You got to stop with the Nazi stuff. But they don't stop. They don't even slow down. So what stops it?
So, well, it would stop it if Republicans lost and Democrats got in and the Republicans hated the Democratic president as much as they hate Donald Trump. Guess what? Our buddies would be being these people at the same time. I mean, I don't think it's an inherent issue among that people who vote on the left have a more predilection to violence, but they're the only ones frustrated as hell right now. And as long as all of that rhetoric, and I don't like to get to the, well, it's both sides, but yeah, everybody has to calm down a little bit. I mean, look, you're right. It is much more on the left, but when Paul Pelosi got smacked in the head, Donald Trump was telling jokes that it might've been by one of his gay lovers, which was a bunch of garbage. His son, Don Jr., he posted a Halloween outfit of the underwear that Pelosi, cause Pelosi was in his underwear when they came to the door, and a hammer on top of it. So it's like, I'm not saying that those are equivalent in numbers, but I think everybody should stop like clucking when somebody gets hurt. I mean, that's the first thing. The second thing is just all the rhetoric needs to tone down in the sense that, and to be honest, I saw Marco Rubio do a great job of that, of not accepting. He was on a Capitol Hill recently, and they were accusing him of, you know, they would just randomly make stuff up, and he would just stop and not allow them to finish that. It's like, you can't call this person or me a racist or this or that, because that leads to those consequences. I'm not quite sure, you know, what else we have besides, you know, making sure that we use the government resources to make sure that these people get either electrocuted, which we don't do anymore, or at least thrown in prison, so that there is, because when you allow people to get away with the minor things, when you allow a whole summer of burning down buildings because a black guy got killed by a cop, and everybody's cool with that, and the National Guard wasn't sent in by Trump won, and Democrats were contributing to their legal defense funds, that sends a signal that violence is okay. And that kind of violence is just a predecessor towards, you know, out and out political assassination.
Ken, thank you, brother. Come back. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks for having
me. All right. We still need to put our money where our morals are. Corporate America may have turned down the communism a little bit, but come on, look around. It's June. I know you've seen it. They're still doing it. Is your mobile provider doing it? I bet they are. Now, mine isn't. I have Pure Talk. Mine's on the same 5G network, so I have the same service you do. Granted, I pay way less. My company's led by a Vietnam veteran, and they're so patriotic, they hire Americans. Does that sound like some place that should get your money? Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and stop paying these people to trash your culture. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that. Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we have a new attorney general. Slow down on that. We might have a new attorney general. Todd Blanche has been the acting attorney general. We've seen more arrests, it seems like, in his short tenure than we did under Pam Bondi. Donald Trump is very clearly impressed, comes out and says, hey, I want him to be the guy. The reason he's not quite the guy yet is he still has to get confirmed by an increasingly hostile Senate. But I guess that's just how life goes. Joining me now to talk about that and other things, the great Tyler O'Neill, author of many wonderful books, but Making Hate Pay, about the Southern Poverty Law Center, is quite a page turner. Tyler, okay, Todd Blanche, what did Trump see that he liked?
Yeah, I think he sees an aggressive guy who's going to go after, you know, abuses of the law. So what we saw, you know, particularly now, we have a superseding indictment against the Southern Poverty Law Center that exposes in great detail exactly what the SPLC had been funding and why they faced charges of wire fraud, bank fraud, and conspiracy to conceal money laundering. But in general, you know, Todd Blanche has been on the cutting edge of a lot of different developments, particularly the anti-weaponization fund that President Trump was very interested in. Now, of course, that fund has been put on ice. I think there were a lot of concerns about the anti-weaponization fund, how it came about. The idea, though, that we should be making whole some of the people who were abused under the previous administration when it weaponized justice against particularly conservatives, Catholics, and supporters of President Trump, the idea that we should be bringing some justice about after that resonates with a lot of people. But I think the way in which they wanted to set up that fund raised some questions. So ultimately, Todd Blanche has been aggressive. He's been on the ball in a lot of situations, particularly against the Southern Poverty Law Center. And President Trump sees that and sees in Blanche an attorney general who will not delay in his prosecuting of injustice.
Okay, Tyler, I wanted to, before we move on, this weaponization fund, you know, I'm old enough to remember the Senate making sure they were able to, of course, get some financial compensation for when their rights were violated. Yeah. What specifically are the problems they have with, you know, the little guys getting the same?
Well, I think the main problem isn't with the little guys getting the same, and it's more with the way in which this fund was created. So you look at President Trump has a legitimate beef with the IRS releasing his confidential tax information, but he sues the IRS while he is president and then achieves a settlement shortly thereafter. That, you know, I've been following things on the left where they engage in sue and settle with environmentalist activism. And this stinks. It seems like that sort of thing happening under President Trump's watch. So I think the way in which we go about making sure that the little guy is made whole does matter. And if we look at this particular settlement, there are a lot of questions about it. But the idea of helping the little guy and making sure, I mean, we saw under the Biden administration, Mark Hawk, who was a father who got arrested in front of his children in a, you know, pre-dawn FBI raid for the supposedly horrific crime of blocking an abortion facility. He wasn't actually blocking it. He was defending his son who had been attacked in front of it at a pro-life protest. Ultimately, he got acquitted by the jury after the Biden DOJ pressed charges. But he also ended up getting a settlement from the government because he went through the normal channels of this. So I think, you know, there are very serious concerns about making sure that those who got attacked by the Biden administration's weaponization of justice, that they can get their, that they can be made whole. In a lot of cases, that can already happen. And there were concerns about the process here. But I do know that there are members of the Senate who are trying to resurrect the idea of this fund that is not connecting to this particular settlement.
All right, Tyler, let's move on to a subject that you know just a little bit about, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Todd Blanche, as part of his job, is going to have to take this organization down if they've been doing illegal things, which it certainly appears like they've been doing. Where are we at? What did they do? Where is all this?
Yeah, so we got a superseding indictment from a grand jury on Tuesday night. And what happened here was, you know, the SPLC was already indicted for these charges of wire fraud, bank fraud, and conspiracy to commit money laundering or to conceal money laundering. But what was new here in this indictment is more details about exactly what the SPLC did. And so the original indictment mentioned that they had a field source who was part of the organizers of the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally. But this document expanded on that and showed exactly what this person was doing, what the SPLC was paying this person to do. There were a few cases that really stood out to me reading this superseding indictment. In one case, the SPLC, an SPLC staffer was in a romantic relationship with a member of a neo-Nazi organization. So she was, from what we understand, this employee was literally sleeping with the hate groups that the SPLC claims it exists to dismantle. So, you know, that was a revelation of itself. But there were also three examples of people who were members of a Ku Klux Klan organization and went to the SPLC seeking a way to leave the Klan. And the SPLC instead gave them a boatload of money and said, no, we want you to stay. And in one of these cases, one of these people became a leader of a Klan organization. They also, I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Okay, Tyler, so, all right, now while that's obviously wrong and crazy, and you do have to admire the undercover work, pardon the pun, how is it illegal? What is it about it that makes it illegal? I mean, surely me as a private citizen, if I would like to pay someone to become a member of the KKK, which I don't think I'll be doing anytime soon, but surely I'm allowed to do that, right?
Yeah, so the main thing here is that the SPLC sells its purpose to its donors as fighting the KKK and neo-Nazis in these organizations. So it sends out this material saying, please give us money. We're trying to dismantle these hate groups. Meanwhile, it's taking some of that money and then giving it to members of the groups. Now, of course, the SPLC has claimed that these are all informants, but and that the whole purpose of paying them is to get information on violence before it happens. And we do have a few situations that the SPLC has highlighted where information from these people did result in criminal action. So we can't just throw out the idea entirely. That said, the SPLC has a clear incentive to exaggerate hate. I mean, this is the thing that I wrote the book about, because throughout the years, you know, America is not racist in the same way that it was in the 1950s. I don't know if you noticed, but we're not in the middle of the civil rights movement anymore. And I think many Americans have rightly tried very hard to avoid harboring any sort of racism, because we know it's wrong. And America has made great strides after the civil rights movement, throughout the period. And one of the main reasons why the SPLC exists is because so many Americans wanted to fund the SPLC's efforts against the Klan in the 1980s, when they sued Klan groups into bankruptcy. But the SPLC trades on that history to smear mainstream conservative and Christian organizations, putting them on a hate map with Klan chapters. And that is a way that they artificially increase the supply of hate to meet the demand that their donors have to give to an organization that is fighting hate. So we already know that the SPLC exaggerates hate. Now, from this indictment, we know that they were funding some of the very hate activities that they claim to oppose. That's why it violates the law. It's because they're engaging in a routine, or they're allegedly engaging in a system where they're committing wire fraud by sending out these messages saying, give to us, we're fighting the Klan, and then clandestinely funding. And by the way, in this new indictment, they're accused of funding, they're accused of paying for cross-burning material. They're accused of paying for KKK hoods and KKK cloaks. And like this, you cannot make this up. There are out there, there was at least once, or probably more than once, a cross burning that was funded by the SPLC. There are white Klan hoods in existence today because of the SPLC funding that would not exist without that funding, according to this indictment. So we really have to see what the SPLC says in defense of itself on these particular things. I think it's very revealing that all of this information has now seen the light of day. And I think Americans, we should have already known that the SPLC stank to high heaven, but this indictment really underscores the main purpose of my book, which was to show Americans and the world that this is a corrupt organization that cannot be trusted as a clearinghouse for hate.
Buying cross-burning materials. Tyler, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. I'm sorry. I find it hilarious. What a bunch of dirtballs. Anyway, maybe I'm just in a good mood because I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. Do you do that? What natural herbal supplements are running through your veins right now? You know, masculinity itself is obviously under attack in this country, and one of the ways is chemical. We have estrogen in the water. When you're sitting there drinking water, and you have to drink water, you're drinking estrogen. You're showering in estrogen. Our T levels are in free fall because of this. We have to be proactive. You can't hope for the best. That's where Chalk comes in. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will have you full of pep and feeling great all the time. Go get a subscription. Get a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. CHOQ.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The communists already lost, so.
Well, I like the sounds of it. Let's find out if that's the reality of it. Joining me now, the great John Phillips of John Phillips Show. Hey, John, I am rooting for Spencer Pratt. I very much admire what Spencer Pratt is doing. I think he's run a heck of a campaign, but California is so commie, I just have a hard time believing they're going to allow anybody to win. Tell me about it.
On election night, I went to bed with Spencer Pratt 8 points ahead of Nithya Raman, who's the socialist city councilwoman who's also running for mayor. Then the next day, they counted a bunch of more ballots, and his lead was knocked down from 8 to 7. Okay, it's still a sizable lead. I'm doing my radio show yesterday, and about right as I'm about to begin my third hour, I noticed that Spencer Pratt, who was a heavy favorite in the betting markets to advance to the November runoff, suddenly starts tanking. No new votes were counted. There's no new information that could justify that happening to my eye. But all of a sudden, he went from looking like this sure winner to an underdog. And now I think he has a 1-in-3 shot, according to the betting markets, of making the November runoff, despite the fact that he's still 7 points ahead of her. And I guess what they're basing this on is that the state of California said that they're going to continue counting ballots for, I guess, the next 37 days. And there is, in Los Angeles County alone, something like 700,000 uncounted ballots that they have in their possession that just haven't been counted yet. Our Secretary of State went on television and said that she's going to take her time. She's not going to rush. And if you want to know when a winner is going to be declared, just sit back and wait and stop asking. And that's the attitude that they have. So I would feel pretty confident if I was ahead by 7% 2 days after the election. But who knows? Crazy things happen here in North Korea.
Okay. John, let me see if I can get you to try to twist yourself into knots with this question here. Is there possibly an innocent explanation for all this stuff?
If they were here, they would say what is important to them is making sure that everyone can vote, and we're going to give voters the maximum amount of time to cast a ballot. And that is going to slow down the process of counting the ballots, and it's going to gum everything up. But it's so important to give people as many opportunities as possible to vote that we're willing to put up with this. That would be the argument that they make. However, how can you run a state like this where you have an election and no one knows 2 days after who won and who lost? And they say that they're doing this in the name of democracy. Well, okay, let's look at it from that point of view. If you are Spencer Pratt, if you are Steve Hilton, if you're an underdog candidate and you're moving on to the general election, being denied the front page picture on the newspaper the next day that shows you at your party and everyone getting excited and celebrating, you can raise a ton of money off of that. People are excited. They're feeling generous. They're willing to give you money. They're willing to sign up to volunteer for your campaign. They're willing to do all of these things that, generally speaking, happens when someone who excited the electorate wins. Well, people have the attention span of a gnat. So let's say both of them advance, but it takes them 37 days to make it official. Well, by that time, everyone has moved on and no one's paying attention anymore. And the big bump, the big bounce that you would get out of it is evaporated. I live in an area where I have a very purple district for the state legislature that I live in. And it always takes them a month and a half to figure out that our guy won re-election. Well, okay, that means he doesn't get the committee assignments that he wants. That means he can't hire the staffers that he wants to hire. He doesn't go through orientation. And instead of hitting the ground running when the session starts, the representative for my district is trying to do all the things that he should have been doing long ago, but couldn't because he didn't know that he won. It's a mess.
Okay. How much of this commie-run California nonsense is intentional versus just garden variety idiocy? These people are morons. If they weren't, they wouldn't be commies. How much of this is, these people are just dumb?
This is how they run shop. And I believe this is what ultimately will prevent Gavin Newsom from becoming president, because this is how we do things here. Those homes in the Pacific Palisades and Altadena burned down a year and a half ago. Many of them don't have permits to even start the rebuilding process. Only a couple of them have been rebuilt. I mean, the vast majority, it's still rubble. It still looks like a bomb went off there. You have a situation in Oakland right now where crime is totally out of control, despite the fact that they say that crime is in free fall. And one of the popular crimes that's going on there now is that it's relatively easy to steal the Korean cars, Kias and Hyundais. So what happens is they steal two of them, and then they drive one through the wall of a 7-Eleven. They use the other one as the getaway car. They tie the ATM machine to the getaway car, and they drive away, leaving the Kia in the rubble of the 7-Eleven. So you're the 7-Eleven, and you just had someone drive through your wall and steal your ATM, and the city of Oakland tells them to fill out a form online. They don't even show up to the scene half the time. And it's just something that happens. It's something that just goes on here. Downtown LA, true story. Downtown LA, there was just a bomb that went off in one of the buildings, because there's a lot of empty buildings in downtown LA. As it turns out, it was homeless squatters who were there, many of whom were on meth, and they had a bomb that went off, and it destroyed that building, and it destroyed a building that people were actually living in next door. So we were doing the story on the show, and we find out that there's squatters in multiple buildings on that street, and they burned down multiple buildings over the course of a short period of time. And the people who lived there were calling the city saying, hey, you know, they're lighting bombs off and they're blowing up these buildings. And, you know, there's collateral damage in the neighborhood. There's more squatters. Do something about it. And the answer is, fill out a form. We'll get around to it when we get around to it. And this is just how things are done here. It's not a way to run a state. It's a completely backwards way to live. But this is what they do.
All right, John, does Steve Hilton have a chance to become governor of California? Looks like he's going to get through this thing, at least this stage of it.
To my eye, and a lot of people got mad at me for saying this, but the way I see it, the one lane that Republicans had to win that seat was to have a Democratic lockout on the November ballot. It was for Steve Hilton and Chad Bianco, the Republican sheriff of Riverside County, those two candidates to end up on the November ballot, and the Democrats wouldn't have an option on the ballot. When President Trump endorsed Steve Hilton, that took that option off the table, essentially. Republicans coalesced behind Hilton. The high watermark for a Republican candidate for statewide office was a few years ago when Lonnie Chen, who's a regular pundit on cable news and a professor at Stanford University, ran for controller. He had all the newspapers behind him. He had everyone in the Republican Party behind him. He was well-funded. He had the best resume, and I think he did 44%. Oh. So the way I see things, I think that the Republican candidate at the top of the ticket has a low watermark of 37 or 38% and a high watermark of 44%. Now, anything can happen, but I think that Steve Hilton would go into this contest as a heavy underdog.
Well, that was right between the eyes. That's how I wanted it. Thanks, John. Come back soon, brother. Freaking California, man. Lighten the mood. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I really enjoy Scott Bessent because he is unbelievably combative. He's clearly very intelligent and very combative. And you are not, it doesn't matter what you are, United States Senator or anything, you are not going to sit there and berate Scott Bessent without getting it back. He's just extra spicy and it makes me laugh. Here he was.
Did you actually tell Pulte you were going to punch him in the face?
No, sir. I actually said I was going to kick his ass. Senator Wyden has mendaciously slandered the Treasury building in an attempt to cover up his son having an investment meeting with Jeffrey Epstein to ask for funding. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Let's be clear here. Nobody is interested in the ramblings of a capo in the most corrupt regime in American history. We want to get some facts about this deal. That's what we're here for. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and I will ask my questions first today.
And we would like to hear what Adam Wyden and Jeffrey Epstein talked about. Your son's largest investment position was Rick's Cabaret. So did your son and Jeffrey Epstein talk about pole dancing as he begged him for money using your limited credibility?
Should I just proceed? I'm going to proceed with my questions.
Like I said, spicy. See you tomorrow.
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.